Lord, I just thank you again for this day you've given us, Lord. You determined that we'd be here for such a time as this. Lord, we're here by your design, not by accident. And so, Lord, today we are open, our hearts are open to you, and ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Lord, remove the veil from our eyes, anything that would hinder, anything that would cause us to not be able to see clearly, Lord. We ask you to root out of me, root out of us, anything that is not of you, God. And we pray, forgive us, Lord, for our sins. We ask you, Lord, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we ask you, Lord, to restore us and to renew a steadfast spirit within every one of us, Lord. We come before you, Lord, because we know where our help comes from. Lord, and only in you is there salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men. So, Lord, today we come to you and we ask for help. We ask for wisdom, for guidance, direction. Father, I ask you to grant me utterance to speak today. God, I just pray that you take all of us into your rest, into the secret place with you, Lord, where we'll be renewed, we'll be restored. Lord, we'll be strengthened, we'll be prepared for what is yet to come. Use us for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:15. Title of the message today is Awakening. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. In other words, don't live like the world. People that don't know Jesus. Amen. But like those who are wise, verse 16, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Do what? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And don't act thoughtlessly, verse 17, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. How many here know what the Lord wants you to do? Show of hands if you know what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. That's good. If you're honest, maybe you're not quite sure, you know, what the Lord wants you to do. Well, how many know that God wants to reveal to you what he wants you to do? Amen. How many know that God has invested in you some treasure, amen, that you are to share? So the Lord doesn't gift us, amen, so we can just enjoy it to ourselves, but so that we can share our gift with others, amen, that we might corporately build up the body of Christ. And so it says, don't act thoughtlessly, and thoughtlessly means unwise or egotistic. Don't be proud. Don't be rash, it says. Don't be foolish, right? But understand, because it would be unwise of us to not know the will of God and not live out the purpose of God for our lives. Would you agree? There's nothing worse than a wasted life. So it's crucial that we discover God's will for us each day and that we do it. So, and again, it's possible to do Christian service, but not be in the will of God. The path of wisdom really is to discern God's will for us and then obey it completely. So God wants us to discover the will, the purpose of God for us, and then obey it completely. When Paul finished his course at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul, he said, I've kept the faith. Amen. I finished my race. He kept the will of God completely. Amen. To the end. And so he knew that the Lord would reward him for all that he had sacrificed in this life. Because he counted the cost and he understood that there was nothing more valuable than the Lord. Amen. And his purpose for him. So as followers of Jesus, our lives really should be always preaching a sermon. The way we live, people do read us. They do watch us. Amen. And we want to represent our Father. Amen. Authentically, but in a way that would honor him. Just like we want our children, amen, to behave. Because when they misbehave, it dishonors the parents. If your child is throwing a fit in Walmart on the floor. Amen. Well, that dishonors the parents because especially if the parents don't do anything about it. And the people are looking, why don't you take care of your child there? Amen. God wants us to discipline our children because if you love them, you'll do so. It's not that you're trying to make them feel good all the time. Sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. How many know that's how God works on us? Sometimes he has to bring us to a place of sorrow, amen, of brokenness, of contriteness, before we can be in position to be humbled enough to be receptive to receive his mercy, his grace, and to be restored. Many times we may feel like we're doing well when we're actually not. So we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? The Spirit of truth to reveal how it really is with us. Our lives should be in contrast to the surrounding world around us. Amen. Jesus said that we're lights in this world, didn't he? And that we cannot be a light unless we have oil in our lamps, unless we are lit for the Lord. We cannot be an example, amen, to others unless we receive, amen, God's provision of his Spirit. God wants his people to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we will be an expression of his heart, amen, and authenticity. That we're not acting like Christians, but we're actually bearing the fruit of Christ because we are abiding in him. We're in communion with him in our hearts, amen? So out of your heart will flow rivers of living water when you're in harmony with God, amen? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's going to be the outflow, amen? It's going to be God's grace flowing out from you. And people will know there's more to you than what they see with their natural eyes. What people need is Jesus, amen? And we have to be that vessel for God. So our responsibility is to guard ourselves, to keep ourselves, because God has in Christ broken the power of sin in our lives. He's enabled us to live a life that is holy, to control ourselves. Amen. If you're not in Christ, then you're going to very easily be susceptible, amen, to the devil's tricks and to whatever he wants to do with you. The safest place to be is in Christ. So this is the message, 1 John 1:5, we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are not practicing the truth. So according to the scriptures, hear me, Christian fellowship, all right, is an indication that we are walking in the light. I know there's a lot of people that don't feel it's important to be in church or to be gathering with God's people. But God has clearly revealed to us that our purpose is to be joined, amen, together under the headship of Christ as a body, where we can receive nourishment, strength, ministry, as each part does. Each member does its part in building and edifying the body together. So we have to be together, amen, to discover even where we fit, what my part is in the body of Christ. You really cannot grow healthy apart from the body of Christ. Because there are certain graces that you and I have, amen, that others don't. And there are graces that they have that you don't. So we need each other, amen, and we need what you have. God wants you to use what he's given you for the purpose of building, amen, not tearing down. So when our hearts are awakened, we will desire to be in fellowship with other believers. When our hearts are awake, we will desire to be in fellowship with other believers. 1 John 1:7, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have koinonia, right? Fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when someone fully, this is the key, fully turns to the Lord, then Christ shines on them and they're awakened. You will not be awake if you're not willing to fully turn to the Lord. If you're not willing to trust the Lord and make yourself vulnerable to him by opening up the door of your heart to him and allowing him access to you. If you're not willing to do that, you will remain in darkness. Why? Because Christ is the light. And without him, we cannot see clearly. So in the areas where we decide that we don't want God to be involved, those are still areas that remain dark. And those are the areas where your enemy, the devil, can operate. So when we fully turn to the Lord and fully surrender our hearts, our lives to Jesus, then he has a vessel that he can fully possess and fill. Amen. So that we become an overflowing vessel for him. And so if we hold back on him, it means that we're not really trusting him. If we're holding back from him, it means that we're not trusting him. And sometimes we hold back because of our own experiences in life with people and authority figures. Sometimes it's because we've had bad experiences, maybe even in church. That we say, well, if pastors are that way, or God's people are that way, or parents are that way, or teachers or police are that way, then God must be that way. That's why we must be a model to our children, amen, and an example to them. So that they're witnessing what God is like as the parents live a godly life before the children. And so we have to understand that God is not to blame for the failures of people. But God does get blamed for the failures of people and for the sins of people, right? God is holy. God is perfect. He's righteous in all of his ways. But sometimes we misjudge God because we live in our own world and we judge according to our own personal experience in life. And that's why we need the truth. We need the word of God to renew our minds. So we're seeing things now from God's perspective. We're getting God's thoughts about the matter, and we're not just operating in our own heads. We're not to be wise in our own understanding, amen? We are to fear the Lord and depart from evil. My way is inferior, amen, to God's way. And God's way is not my way. We often think that God thinks like we do. How many know that if we're really wise, we'll humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't know, but I want to know. I want you to teach me. I don't want to pretend. In Ephesians 5:14, it says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. How many know that God is not interested in half-hearted devotion? God wants us fully, fully for him. God doesn't want us having any other gods before him. So God wants us fully for him. No other gods. He's not interested in lukewarmness and half-heartedness. Amen. How many want your husband or your wife, amen, to be fully committed to you? To have eyes for no one else. Amen. To be faithful to you. Amen. To be committed, devoted. Of course. So likewise, the Father wants us to be devoted to him. To have no other gods. To not be half-hearted about this, but to be fully committed to him. We owe him everything because he gave everything for us. We owe him our lives. To live the rest of our days for him in this world. We need a personal awakening. Amen? And it requires a deliberate action on our part. We are actually called to rouse ourselves. When Ephesians says awake, it means to rouse from sleep or from inactivity. It means to seek the Lord, amen, and his strength. We've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. And we need to confess our lack of spiritual zeal for Him. We need to confess to God that I don't have the strength that I should. I can't do this without You, Lord. I need Your help. I need Your strength. I need Your grace, Lord. God, I am hungry for You because only You can fill up, amen, and satisfy me. Only You can give me the strength to carry on and to be a light in this world. I can't be a light if I'm not lit. Proverbs 1:23, God says, turn at My rebuke. When God wants to correct us, when God wants to point out the fact that maybe we've been kind of complacent lately, we've been apathetic maybe, maybe we've been kind of lukewarm, just kind of half-hearted devotion. He says, if you will turn at My rebuke, surely I will pour out My Spirit on you. I will what? Make My words known to you. Sometimes the reason why we cannot understand the Word of God is because we are not surrendered to God. We're asking God to do things for us, but we're not listening to His voice. God will give you instructions. God will give you an instruction. And He wants you to do something with that. He wants you to obey His voice, to learn how to take steps of obedience on a daily basis, being faithful in the day-to-day things of life, being responsible, amen, being a good steward, amen, over what God has entrusted to you, being a good parent, being a good child even, amen. Being faithful to your employer, being trustworthy, being somebody that they can go away and know the office is going to be okay. Amen? Integrous, faithful, trustworthy people. Why? Because we are to represent our Father who is all those things. He is faithful. He is just. Amen? He is true. He's righteous in all of His ways. And we want to grow up and become more and more like our Father. Amen. Our Heavenly Father. So He said, if you listen, if you're willing to listen and turn at My rebuke, instead of making excuses for it or redirecting it and getting it off you onto somebody else, listen to what He's trying to tell you, because God wants to pour His Spirit out on us. And sometimes the reason why people are dry and unable to see is because they have hardened their heart to the Spirit of God. They're not obeying God. They're not willing to listen. In other words, they're prideful and they're not willing to humble themselves and admit, I'm not all that. I have faults. I have weakness. I can't do this without God's help. Because when we humble ourselves, then God will pour His grace into our lives. It's important that we confess our weakness to God. Just like Paul, the apostle, confessed his weakness. He admitted it. Here was a man that was very prideful, full of himself, highly educated, smart as a whip. But when the Lord got a hold of him, the Lord humbled him, and he realized that actually he was a weak man. And he was deceived in his own mind to think that he was all that when he really wasn't. I say it often, but there's two types of people. You got up and outers and down and outers. Amen. It doesn't matter what echelon of society you're from, or you're white collar or blue collar or whatever. Amen. You're either up and out or down and out. Without Christ, you're out. Amen. And so God knows how to humble the proud and bring them into a position to where now He can pour His Spirit into them. Why? Because God's not going to pour His Spirit into arrogance. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Pharisees were not open to receive from Jesus because they thought they knew it all. They thought they knew better than God Himself because Jesus was God in the flesh. Paul realized that he was weak. God allowed him to see that. And God, if you're a child of God today, you've been born again, God's going to bring you through. Amen. the boot camp, and he's going to cause you to see that what he's called you to do is bigger than you and beyond what you can do in your own strength and your own wisdom and your own witticism. You need to trust in the grace that comes from him. Paul actually boasted in his infirmities because he knew the power of God would rest upon him when he kept a humble attitude about himself. And he made sure that people understood that this is not of me. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Amen. We're just weak human vessels, but God pours his Holy Spirit into us. Amen. If we are humbled before him, he will entrust us with the riches of his presence. Amen. And we can be more effective for him. Paul knew that. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. How many know that Paul was not a weak man? Paul was a mighty man of valor. I mean, Paul was amazing. The things that he was able to endure for Christ, the things that he was able to accomplish for Christ, he was amazing. Why was that? Because of his attitude towards himself. He had a humble attitude. He realized that I can't do this without Jesus. Amen. And it's not of me, it's of him. And so God would entrust to him what he needed. See? So we can stand up and we can boast about our accomplishments and our Christian life and how holy and how, you know, all the things that God has used us in to do, you know. But, you know, when Paul talked about himself that way, remember, he was speaking as a fool. And when he would boast about his accomplishments, he would say, now I'm speaking as a fool. Because he realized that if he had to boast, it had to be in Jesus, amen. Because he knew where his source came from, where his help came from, amen. So we all get to be a part of what God's doing. But we have to always be careful to give God the glory and remember that it's not of us, but of him. And God happened to choose us to be a vessel for him. And what a privilege and what an opportunity it is, amen, to be able to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It's important that we humble ourselves and confess our weakness to God. So 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. In verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, if anybody could preach a good sermon, it had to be Paul because of his education and his background. Amen. He was taught by some of the finest teachers, Gamaliel, right? And he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he had quite an accomplishment, quite a resume. But he had to throw all that out and say, you know what? I realize that it's not of human origin. But my help comes from the Lord. And by the grace of God, I am who I am today. Same thing is true for us. God wants his people awake. And we can't be awake unless we're filled. And we won't be filled until we humble ourselves and realize that we need, amen, more of Jesus in our lives. He says, I don't want you to trust in how clever I am or how well I can preach. He says, I want you to put your faith in the power of God. Amen. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul could demonstrate the gospel. Amen. There were signs and wonders and miracles through his life. Why? Because he was submitted to God. He was humbled, amen, before the Lord. He remained humble, and even God allowed a messenger of Satan to buffet him, remember, to keep him humble as well. Paul admitted he wasn't personally impressive or attractive. In other words, he wasn't some Christian celebrity superstar with the plastic hair and the polished teeth. Nothing wrong with that, I guess, but it's not about that. God uses just regular people, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He knew the treasure of the gospel was contained in a frail human vessel. But he was an example of how God could use weak things to confound the mighty. And what was the secret to Paul's success? It was his humility. God will bypass the proud. When the Spirit of the Lord really gets a hold of somebody, He can humble a person, amen, and bring a person down to where they're just ruined in themselves. They're just a blubbering mess, amen. They're broken in the presence of God. And I'm praying, hallelujah, Lord, bring that to the Northwest. Bring that to us. Bring that kind of conviction, that kind of power, that kind of influence of your Spirit. Amen. Where those who are sitting in complacency and apathy and those who are hardened will be arrested by the Spirit of the Lord. And they'll be brought to their knees. And they'll be brought to a deep contrition. Amen. And a brokenness and awareness of their true sinfulness and their need to be saved. The fear of God to come upon every person. To where we will begin to honor and respect the presence of God. The fear of the Lord. Amen. Even as the early church. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. You know, guys, we should be thankful when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It doesn't feel good, but it is good. Just because something doesn't feel good doesn't mean it isn't good. If you want to be a bodybuilder, you're going to have to feel some pain, amen, if you want to have some gain. So just because something doesn't feel good, we're living in a feel-good society, you know. I just want to feel good. But sometimes, you know, when we move the clocks ahead an hour, you may not be feeling as good as you would ordinarily because you lost an hour of sleep. But you discipline yourself and you get up and you say, you know what, I gotta go and meet with the body of Christ today. I gotta get myself out of bed. Amen. And God wants us to be responsible for ourselves. He gives us self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, so that we can do that. 2 Corinthians 7:10. When God convicts, this is the kind of conviction we're talking about. The kind of sorrow God wants to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. You know, you think about Judas. He was remorseful, amen, because he betrayed the Lord. But there's no sign that Judas ever repented. As a matter of fact, he went out and he hung himself. So it's possible to be remorseful, but not be repentant. It's possible to be sorry that you're in a bad mess and you got yourself into a mess, but not actually be repentant. You know, we need to be sorry enough to where we quit sinning. To where we turn away from sin and turn to Jesus for mercy. Amen. And the Holy Spirit does that work of bringing people to the end of themselves to realize that they're in trouble. And that they need to repent and turn to God that they might receive mercy while they still have an opportunity to do so. We're living in a time right now where things are happening so quickly around the world. People are perishing everywhere, unexpectedly. We don't know how much time we have left. We may have another 100 years, who knows? But we may not have that long, we don't know. God knows. But what we do know is that we're living now in a time, in a season when God is saying, if you will listen to my voice, if you will repent, I will pour out my Spirit unto you, and I will make my words known to you. I'll reveal myself to you. God wants His church fully awake. Guys, when we're prideful, we're prayerless. When we're proud, we don't pray. It's getting quiet in here. Because we are feeling or we're believing that somehow I've got this. So I don't need God. Are you hearing me? And that is arrogance. God wants his people to understand that without him we can do nothing. And we'll find out real soon, amen, that if we allow ourselves to go spiritually and we don't stay strong in the Lord, we don't stay armored up, that the enemy knows how to get in. He'll hit you with a curveball. He's good at it. And God wants us to be armored up. He wants us to be awake. He wants us to be watchful. He wants us to be alert. He wants us to be discerning of the times, discerning of what's happening around us. He wants us to be able to find out, amen, who has the spirit of Christ in them and who has the spirit of the enemy in them. And you cannot see clearly unless you're filled with the spirit of the Lord, who brings light and revelation and reveals to us what's going on below the surface. We can all judge outwardly by appearance, amen, but we need to have the heart of God. We need to see through the eyes of the Spirit so that we can discern what is really going on in a situation. How many know that it can protect you to be discerning? Amen. You need God's discernment so you can avoid the trap of the enemy. How many know there are certain relationships that you need to avoid? And you need discernment to know who you're dealing with. Because some people can act very well, but not be very good. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit of God so we're discerning and able to read what's going on below the surface. So we can avoid the trap of the enemy. Sometimes the enemy will bring people into your life that seem to be a breath of fresh air, but they're actually someone that he's bringing in to try to destroy you. God doesn't want his people caught up in materialism and worldliness. We have been called, separated for him, for such a time as this. We are ambassadors representing the kingdom government of heaven. God has anointed us and appointed us for such a time as this. God is looking for loyalty. He's looking for someone who will say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I will humble myself. I will position myself and I will let you fully equip me and fill me." Amen. And wait on my ministry as you raise me up and prepare me for what you have. Amen. If you'll humble yourself, then he'll pour out his spirit upon you. I used this illustration a couple of years ago. But you remember the movie in 1990? It was called Awakenings with Robin Williams. It was based upon a documentary from 1917 to 1928. And it took place in a mental hospital in the 1920s. And so a group of people had succumbed to this sleeping disease. And it was called encephalitis lethargica. Okay? And so they went into a deep sleep, these people, for days, weeks, months, and even years. Just went to sleep. Decades later, in 1968, the medical staff tested an experimental drug, and to their surprise, the people miraculously began waking up. This was Malcolm Sayer. And when the people finally awoke, they realized that they had missed out on many years of their life. When the people Do you hear this? When the people finally awoke, they looked back and said, "Man, I've missed out on so much life." And so they got together. I saw the movie, and they got together, and they went on tours. They went on the bus, and they went all over, and they saw places. And they are enjoying life to the fullest, you know. And sadly, they started to go back to sleep again. Yeah. Sometimes, without realizing it, we can lose our spiritual zeal, our passion, our joy, our love, our gratitude, our wonder. exploring the Lord, discovering him more and more, and having a hunger for to know God. Are you hearing me? And without realizing it, we can go to sleep. And while we're asleep, we're missing out on the opportunities, which are not very many, and life is not very long, that God is giving us to live for him and to bear fruit unto eternal life. So if you're a believer, it's time to wake up. It's time to rouse yourself. Talks about awake, O sleeper. It means rouse yourself. Realize you've been asleep. Awake. Listen, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You know, guys, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are awake, you will not be ashamed of the gospel. When you're on fire for God, you will not be ashamed to testify about the Lord. Are you hearing me? When you're on fire for God, you will want people to hear about Jesus. You'll want to tell people about Jesus. You'll want to share Jesus with others when you are awake. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The heart of Jesus in you, amen, will be manifested outwardly. And because in ourselves we are weak and we do not have the capability to be adequate ministers for Christ, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must humble ourselves and admit, I'm not all that. There's too much pride and people are saying, I don't want anybody to think I'm not all that. I'm not all that spiritual. Come on. Paul came and said, I'm weak without God. Amen. I need God. We're all weak without the Lord. It's not about human ability and human strength and human smarts and how well I can know the Bible and quote it and win a Bible debate and wow somebody with what I know. It's about revealing Christ and getting people to understand and know the true Jesus. Amen. The gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. You know what? Only Jesus can revive us. You know, the time of Christian pep rallies is coming to a close. How many know what I'm talking about? Of just Christian entertainment, where we sell the ball caps and the t-shirts and all the stuff, the paraphernalia. Guys, we don't need Christian entertainment. We need to be entertaining the King. Amen. We need to be worshiping God in spirit. We need to be seeking his face. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so we can be an expression of God's heart in this world, because apart from him, amen, we could do nothing. If you've lost your joy, you lost your love for God, you've lost your passion, your zeal, it's time to return. It's time to be honest and say, you know what? I've drifted away. I've allowed other things to pull me away from God, even good things. Only Jesus can revive us. But verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, as God's people, we are called to seek those things which are above. That needs to be our aspiration. Our heart's desire is to know Christ, amen, to know him, to seek the things of God and to seek God himself. Not just be preoccupied with worldly things. That's why so many do not produce fruit, is because they're choked by the world, the love of the world, the love of entertainment more than the love of God. Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind where? On things above. Not on things on the earth. Listen, You can't be earthly good unless you're heavenly minded. Let's flip that around. If you're heavenly minded, you will be earthly good. For you died, verse 3. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. God wants us to consider us, ourselves, to be now dead to sin. Amen. But alive unto God. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer, in a sense, a citizen to this sin-sick world. Amen. I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. I'm under new command. I'm under the authority of Jesus Christ now. And as a citizen of heaven, amen, I am to take my instructions from the King, from the head. Amen. And God delegates authority to his body, you and I, to be an expression of him in this world. But guys, we cannot be that expression if we're not connected to the head. You know what happens if the head becomes disconnected from the spinal column? Paralysis, right? And it's the same. There's some people that are spiritually paralyzed because they have disconnected from the head. Maybe at one time they walked closely with the Lord, but something happened and that relationship was disconnected. And now they're like walking dead. They're not even aware of it. As a matter of fact, a person who is asleep is not aware they're asleep. They don't know they're asleep. Are you hearing me? When we're sleeping, we don't know we're sleeping. It takes somebody else to come along and say, hey, you're going to be late. Wake up. Yeah. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to wake us up, to wake us from slumber. We need the move of God's Spirit. In Romans 13:11, it says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Cast off the filthy garments of worldliness and everything associated with unrighteousness and evil, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this will produce a holy life. A person who is filled with the Holy Spirit will live a holy life. A person who claims to be filled with the Holy Spirit but lives an unholy life is lying. Remember the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do what? Stir up the gift that was in him. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. What does Paul do? He makes a connection between being spiritually awake and our ability to testify shamelessly about the Lord. When you're spiritually awake, you will be able to testify shamelessly about the Lord. Everybody should have said amen to that. I'm going to say amen to that. That was pretty good. How many beside myself could admit, you know what, I could use some more spiritual zeal in my life. I could use some more Holy Ghost fire in my life. I could be stronger in the Lord. Amen. How many are really hungry for that? Hallelujah. Jesus said, wake up, watch and pray. Watch and pray always that you be counted worthy. Amen. To escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is coming. The Lord will return. And he's coming for a church. Amen. That is ready. He is returning for those who are awake, those who have oil in their lamps, those who are looking for his return. He shall return a second time without sin unto salvation. Are we watchful? Are we awake yet? Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to wake us up. God, wake me up. I realize in myself that I am weak. I can't do what you ask me to do without you. So I ask you to forgive me for my apathy, my complacency, and my lack of zeal. And I ask you to restore me, to forgive me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to fill me with your holy fire. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Flood me with your holy presence. Captivate my heart and my mind, and raise me up in your power, that I might be a bold witness for Jesus. Lord, strengthen me with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your fire fall, Lord. Let your fire fall, Lord. Let's just lift our hands to him right now. Hallelujah. 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 Just begin to worship him this morning. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Give honor to the Lord. Give glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank him for his goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.